Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The building is Bill, and you know that from the second you pull up in that parking lot in New England. And the second you walk through that door, now I know they've changed the facility a little bit, but when you walk through the door, you have to walk by Berge Najarian, who is Belichick's right-hand man. And that sets the tone right there because they're serious, and you might walk by Bill, and you know he's going to be at work and ready to go and a curmudgeon. So the whole day, the attitude of the building is always set by Bill through and through. And yes, you know, again, you can even talk to, you know, when I heard about this and then I go, oh, you know, hey, Tom had some issues that he wanted more say in the offensive game plan and things like that. You know, listen, they'll listen to Tom up there. But again, this is their ship. Bill is the commander. It doesn't matter. So Josh is going to go in there and he's going to build an offensive game plan for the week. But he's already conversated with Bill about how they want to attack that team and what they want to do, which best fits their own team going forward and all those things. So where, yeah, they're going to listen to Brady. But at the end of the day, Belichick and McDaniels go, we're here in this building for like 120 hours every week. We're going to be the ones that come up with the game plan and deem what's necessary to be in there and not be in there. And, you know, I think probably Brady got sick and tired of that crap too, because he probably felt like he's earned or should have enough respect to add more input into the game plan on a weekly basis.
All right, hi everybody, welcome to the program. Felger Mass here Wednesday, May 13th. Felger in our Tom Ford Tire Studios, Maz and Murray on remote as we continue to social distance. That is Mike Florio, Chris Sims on Pro Football Talk to get us back into some Patriots chatter and follow up on yesterday's story with Brady and McDaniels. We're going to be talking to the big boy, Greg Bedard, here coming up this hour. So all just sort of a setup and to follow up on what we discussed yesterday with Brady and McDaniels, because I do have some follow-up thoughts. Maz, Murray, how you guys doing? Maz, you have any follow-up thoughts?
Hello, Michael.
Hi, how you doing, pal?
Good. So, yeah, look, my follow-up thoughts with Brady, and forgive me for jumping your take here a little bit because I'm playing off you a little bit and you haven't even gotten to it yet.
Jump it.
Okay, and that is this, that Brady wanted all of this special treatment. He wanted all this special treatment. And listening to Chris Sims right there, think of that. Play that out. Okay, that Brady get agitated that he wasn't getting as much say in the operation. And yet, he was blowing off OTAs. He was intolerant of the receivers. So he expected to show up less, be difficult, and still have the same input? Like, that's just not realistic. So the point being is, if you're going to give less, you're going to get less. I mean, to me, that's like the first rule of life. You get what you give. Pretty standard. And so if Brady was going to get frustrated by the fact that he wasn't having input in the offensive operation, well, whose fault is that? That's his fault. I mean, again, I understand there's a snowball effect there that it goes back to the contract. But if you react that way, because ultimately you work for someone and it sucks and we all hate it. But at the end of the day, if you start pulling back like that, you're ultimately heading to a breakup.
Well, so,
unless you stop it, and he clearly was done with that.
Well, Chris Sims is implying there that Brady didn't have say in the Patriots' offense or game plans because that's the Patriot way. They don't let anyone in. It's all up to Bill and Josh. That's not entirely – I don't think that's entirely accurate. I mean, it's part of the story. It's the baseline of the story. But if Brady were more fully invested in them, Don't you think they would allow him to have more say in what they were doing?
Yes, because history has shown it. And again, look, I'm going all the way back now to 09 and the football life with Bill Belichick. But remember that scene when they're sitting in Belichick's office and they're going over the offensive game plan for the week, and Brady says to Belichick, you know, I'd really like to build in a dart there on the left side, you know, and Bill says, oh, yeah, you know, good idea. Let's add that. Right. And so clearly there's evidence of it, that when Tom was in the thick of his career and Tom was fully invested, that Bill was fully willing to give Tom a voice in the process and in the operation and appease him and accommodate him with things he wanted on specific plays or in the offense. But once Brady started to pull back, they looked at him and said, well, you know, if he's checking out, we're going to go do this on our own because we still have to do the same job.
So I agree with you, Maz. I think that it's not just the Patriot way, as Chris Sims was sort of implying. It was particular to this situation, and Brady sort of made his own bet on that. My developing take relates to who's got pressure on them next year. And, you know, when we've talked about this topic previously, who's got more pressure on him, Brady or Belichick, to perform going forward? I've always said Belichick, and I still believe it. I still believe there's more on Belichick than there is on Brady. Belichick's legacy has more at stake. There's more people lined up to knock Belichick down if he fails these next couple of years. So I think if Brady fails these next couple of years, we'll largely chalk it up to age. And, oh, by the way, the fact that he was told to leave, that wasn't his choice. He's in Tampa because Bill did everything he could to box him out, and so it's not really Brady's decision. And, oh, by the way, he's 43, and what do you expect? We're going to put most of the pressure on Bill because he's the one who basically affected this change. And there was that whole question about what he was before Brady even got here. People love to bring up the Cleveland record, et cetera, even diminish his 11-5 here in 2008, and dot, dot, dot. There's people who are lined up to knock Belichick down if and when he fails without Brady. So, more pressure on Bill. That's all one big setup. That's all one big however. But, and this is my developing opinion, I'm going to start putting some more on Tommy. And I think he deserves a little bit more because, boy, did he get high maintenance here at the end? Oh, Tommy, the coaches were mean to you? That's too bad. He didn't like the mean coaches. Now, he's got the nicest, most player-friendly coach in the league from what you read about. Win, lose, we booze. Okay, Tommy, you got your nice coaches. You didn't get along with your offensive coordinator? You had problems with Josh McDaniels, your offensive coordinator? Well, here we go. Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich, they are lined up to take care of you, and now you got guys on your side. There you go. You didn't, you know, think you had say in the offense? You didn't think that you had input into the offense? Okay, they're going to give it to you down there. Arians and Leftwich, they're going to give it to you. You'll have a say in the offense. Oh, you didn't like your weapons. You didn't like the players around you. You don't think they surrounded you well enough? Well, now you're going to a team with arguably the best pass-catching group in the league. So there you go. Now you have your receivers. Oh, Tommy, you didn't like the way they treated your buddy Gronk, and, you know, Rob Gronkowski had to leave because they were being mean to him too. Well, now you got him back. What else do I got? Oh, you didn't like your contract. You didn't, and this one I'm actually with him on. But you know, you didn't like the way you're being paid. You didn't like the way you're being treated at the contract table. You didn't like the contract. Okay, you got the contract. You got everything you've asked for, buddy. You've gotten everything you've asked for. You've gotten the contract. You've gotten the surrounding cast. You've gotten the nice coaches, the coaches that are willing to work with you. You got Gronkowski back. If warm weather was on your list, you got warm weather. You got everything you asked for. You better succeed with it. So if you're going to pitch a fit about all those things up here and then you get them where you're going, okay, you better perform. Otherwise, you look like a jackass. That's sort of my developing opinion there, Maz.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. And again, let's not forget that, you know, he is shoved down our throats over the last X number of years. I'm going to play till I'm 45. I'm going to play till I'm 45. I feel as good as I ever have. Blah, 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 blah. And then go out and suck at age 43. So, and again, I'm you know, projecting something onto him that he has not done yet.
Well, no, but that's pressure too.
Yeah, he is. The point being, he's asked for an awful lot here over the last few years. And I'm sorry, asking people to trust you until age 45 is asking for a lot. In the real world, in the NFL, in the NFL world, that is unprecedented. It's never been done, and there's no reason for anyone to believe that it can be done until it happens.
Yeah, but Belichick had basically checked out on him at 37 when he drafted Garoppolo. So
true, Murray.
Yeah, why should he give more? Like, I completely understand why he stopped showing up to the OTAs. It was a middle finger to Bill, because Bill stopped believing in him years ago.
So that's not exactly how it timed out, Murray. When they drafted Garoppolo, Brady was actually living in Brentwood, and he sold the house in Brentwood and moved back east and started winning the parking spot again. So that's not, you know.
I'm just saying, as this has deteriorated here over the last 2 or 3 years. Like, I understand it. Like, he felt like he had checked out on him.
It deteriorated? Really? I mean, Brady was challenged and pissed off when they drafted Garoppolo, but he was highly motivated, and he was highly invested. Again, I told you, that's when he sold the house in L.A. and came back out.
He won that one.
And came back here. The real deterioration happened after they traded Garoppolo and then never extended Brady on the contract. And that started the slow spiral. And so, okay. I mean, look, maybe Brady was right about all these things. Fine. I mean, okay. The coaches were mean to you. They didn't show me enough respect. Okay, so now you got a coach that shows you respect. He's going to be nice to you. It's going to be fun. You got your contract, you got your surrounding cast, you got Gronkowski, you got your input into the offense, you got everything you asked for, LeBron. I mean, Tommy, you got everything you asked for. Now you're going to win, right? Because this is everything you were looking for the Patriots to do. Now you got it. So you're going to win at a high, high level, right? Right? And so this is the pressure on Tom. There should be more pressure on him. There should be more pressure on him. Boy, did he have a lot of problems here at the end. Oh, it's just, boy, the conditions, I'm telling you. All that winning, it just, that blows, Tommy, when the coach won't be nice to you. Just need nice coaches, and you get to call the offense. You get to call the offense, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Brady. I mean, you know, he laps into all these things, and now he's getting everything that he wants. What are you going to do with it? And now as I go on that rant and sort of rag on him, I think he will have a good year. I'm hoping he has a good year, Murray. I know you think I'm rooting against him. I'm not. I'm rooting for the talk show at all times. And I think Tom Brady going out and having a great year and proving all that and living up to all that and giving Bill the middle finger is a great story. I'll take it. I'm rooting for him. And he should, because I think he is a phenomenal player who still has a lot left in the tank. I think his problems last year, he owned some of them. Some of them are his responsibility, but mostly it's the team. And so I think if he is surrounded in the right situation, he should be better and he should be the old Tom Brady. I'm hoping for that. I'm expecting that. But if he's not, don't tell me it's, you know, I'm no longer going to say, oh, he's just 43. What do you expect? No. I'm going to say, Tommy, you asked for all that. You asked for all that because you thought what they're giving you in Tampa, they were not giving you in New England. So now you have it. You're going to lose at home to week 17, to some bum team throwing pick sixes? Or you're going to look like the old Tom Brady? There's some pressure on him.
Minimal, though. I think he's got the built-in fail-safe of the age. I mean, at 43, age would have to catch up with him eventually. So if it doesn't work, I know I'll be ready with that narrative. What can you do? He's 43. It was bound to happen.
I'll tell you, one of the real unfortunate parts of this story is that he ended up in Tampa. Because, again, if it had been a team that was knocking on the door and needed a piece to put him over the top, and, again, San Francisco's the easy one for lots of reasons, then the Niners fan base would be looking at him saying, wait a minute now, we were this close to the Super Bowl, this close to the championship, this close, and say what you want about Jimmy Garoppolo, but he's got a long future ahead of him in the NFL, and we were willing to sacrifice that for you. You better win us a title while you're here.
I'm just waiting to hear what else he had a problem with. I mean, I think we're running out of items, but maybe not. Belichick, McDaniels, his contract, his receivers, his say in the offense. What they weren't nice to him. The respect level, like what else? I mean, up to 7-8. What else is left, Tommy? I'm curious to hear what it is. I'm curious to hear what else. How they treated Gronk? Okay, that's on the list. What else? What else? And you got it all now in Tampa. What are you going to do with it? That's my developing Brady take. How do you folks feel about it? We'll get to you after we talk to the big boy himself, Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal, right after these words.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Program again, Felger Maz, brought to you by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Tuesdays during football season, you get the big boy himself, Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal. We thought we'd check in with him now. Do it on a Wednesday, eh, Maz? How do you feel about that?
I'm all in. I miss the big boy.
Joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline is Greg Bedard himself. Hi, Greg. How you doing, buddy?
I miss you guys, too.
See, at least he calls us on a landline. You see that?
Not like Bert.
Oh, my God, Bert.
Good job, Greg.
Okay, Greg, here we go. The last time we spoke to you, you said, I think, you felt, this was before the draft now, that the Pats roster was still the best in the AFC East. Post-draft, do you still think they have the best team? And after seeing the schedule, are you more or less confident in them?
Okay. I mean, I do think that they have the most overall talent in the division. I don't think it's overwhelming. I think it's very close. I don't think the draft changed all that much in the AFC East. I mean, I think the Patriots will get some impact from Ossie, who I wrote up today for the website, who has a lot of potential for them at tight end. I was impressed with what I was able to see. I think Uche will have some impact for them as far as pass rush. I think the Dolphins have a lot potential to get better on the offensive line quickly with some of the guys they drafted there. Tua down the line once he gets healthy. The Jets were more of a rebuild draft. The Bills, they could get some pop from a guy like Epenenza, but other than that, they're basically who they are with Stephon Diggs in the offseason. It's certainly not a cakewalk, but I think this. I think the AFC East is going to come down to this. It's going to come down to which team gets the most efficient quarterback play. And I know that the Patriots feel confident that they can get that out of Stidham or Hoyer or whoever. You know, if Josh Allen is better than Jarrett Stidham, then the Bills are going to win the division. But it's just in the context of what they're going to do offensively, who executes the best. And I know that the Patriots feel good about where they are. As far as the schedule, you know, I still have the Patriots. I projected them as a 10-6 team after going through their schedule. I think they get a couple of nice breaks. I think the Thursday night game in L.A. against the Rams was a huge break for them, that they get to play in the same stadium the Sunday before while the Rams are away. And they're just in Arizona. But still, normally when you have a Thursday night game and you're the home team, you normally have a huge advantage where the other team has one less practice because they have to travel. The Patriots are going to be in their hotel in L.A. by 6 o'clock out there on Sunday before the game. So they're going to have more prep than any Thursday night team will get during that season. And I also think getting Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, and Kyler Murray all three together is a break instead of having to, you know, prepare for that type of athletic quarterback at different spots on the schedule. It's just three in a row, boom, Belichick can put in his game plan, and that's a lot easier for them. And the final thing on the schedule is I think after the Baltimore game, it's not going to be easy by any stretch. Every game is going to be a challenge, but I do think that they have a chance to go on a run after the Ravens game with the Texans, the Cardinals, Chargers, Rams, and then the division to finish the season. I think the schedule sets up well for them.
Do you hear that, Maz? Path to 10-6 from the big boy right there.
Oh, yeah, no, that's great. I'm glad you guys have been exchanging texts and messages. That's cute.
Heart emojis.
So, Greg, look, you mentioned, you said if Jarrett Stidham plays better than Josh Allen, the Patriots will win the division, or vice versa, if Allen plays better than Stidham. I want to focus on the Stidham part of it.
Yep.
What did you think of the Patriots' offense in the second half of last year?
I thought it was really challenged. I mean, we talked about it all the second half, but I do think a couple of things why I think it could be better. And I'm not talking about Jarrett Stidham.
Stop there for 1 second, because okay. I think we all agree it was challenged. And what I was going to ask you next was, am I nuts to think that with Brady gone and Stidham in there now, given what Brady's attitude was last year, that there's actually a chance the offense could function better? It doesn't mean that they'll be more explosive, but it means that the pieces will work better together.
It's possible. I don't know if I would draw a direct line to Brady's attitude, even though that was a factor. And I know, some people around the team thought that was a detriment, somewhat of a detriment to the team down the stretch. Not a huge factor, but was it a factor? Yeah, but I think that the team feels better about themselves offensively going into this year slightly. Maybe they don't have the ceiling that they have with Brady, but as far as consistent play, just from the fact that, let's say David Andrews is healthy and plays a full season and Joe Tooney's here, that's a much better offensive line. There's a feeling that Shaq Mason and Marcus Cannon are kind of ticked off about what they put on film last year and want to be a lot better. That line has a chance to be the best in the league if it's intact and healthy. You get Edelman healthy. You get Sanu healthy. He wasn't towards the end of the season. You get better play at tight end in Asiasi, and maybe Dalton Keene can do some things. You add in Damir Bird, who they feel really good about, that they think is a huge upgrade on Philip Dorsett. And you put all those things together, plus, a new sort of attack plan with Jarrett Stidham. They feel good about, how they can be efficient offensively.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the effect there, Greg, was really more intangible. I mean, it's not like, Brady showed up on Monday with a bad attitude and that impacted the team. That it's really not like that. It was an accumulation of the problems with Brady and his coaches, and now they're closer to the finish line and he's clearly got a foot out the door, and it's sort of like it didn't allow them to get on that usual late season run that they usually do. They usually maximize what they are as a talent, as a roster, right? They usually get the most out of it. And even when they come up short, they'll make the Super Bowl and lose, make an AFC title game and lose. They'll ultimately, water will reach its level, but they sort of maximize what they are as a team. This year they did not. This year they did not. Losing at home to Miami, I'm sorry, they're better than that. And then getting bounced one and done at home in a play, so I just think it was an accumulation. And with that gone, maybe next year they actually get better as the season goes on, and it looks better as the season goes on. I mean, that's what I'm hoping if I'm the Patriots.
I mean, I don't think that's I think that's pretty fair to bring up. I mean, I do know there's some people around the team will point to, and I'm trying to find the year, but the year they lost in Denver in the playoffs and they didn't have much offensively. And then the next year, I think they ended up winning, maybe that was 13, and then, 14, I think they ended up winning the Super Bowl. And, offensively, they were a lot better, but not a whole lot changed as far as the personnel. So I think there is some of that built in as far as the thoughts around the team.
Okay, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, joining us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. With Andy Dalton gone to Dallas, is the quarterback thing over? No more shoes to drop? This is it?
I think largely, they're at the point now where it's, especially with the cap situation, which hasn't been resolved. But I think they're at the point now, just about at every position, where it's, we're going to camp whenever that happens, and we'll take a look, and then we'll reassess. I mean, if it's a disaster in camp, if Jarrett Stidham all of a sudden gets out there and he's looked at the man, and he chokes, they're going to make a move. They're not just going to go down with the ship. So I think largely across the board, that's where they are. Let's go to camp, see how it looks, and then if we need to adjust, we will.
Okay, your thoughts on the Gary Myers reporting from yesterday. Well, how were Brady and McDaniels last year, and did that deteriorated relationship factor in Brady's departure?
Yeah, I mean, I have a great deal of respect, for Gary, and I'm sure he heard, something like this from a source. I just think that he sort of misread it a little bit. I certainly have my ideas on who the source was, and that source probably heard a lot of complaining from Brady over the past few years, and Gary heard sort of like a laundry list of these things, and the McDaniels factor to a national reporter, not to us local people who sort of knew what was going on behind the scenes, that was probably new to him. So he probably said, I'm gonna put this out there. Nobody's really reporting this, so I'm gonna put it out there. And really, any sort of issues between McDaniels and Brady, I don't think they were significant at all. I think we're well down the list. I think that, Chris Sims and guys like Tom Curran, their commentary after this has sort of hit the nail on the head. I think that overall Brady was just sort of tired of the whole Patriots thing. It's really the franchise. And I think it started with, when he started TB12 and the book and Guerrero and not showing up in the offseason. Like, I think it's just, it was sort of, building to that.
Well, so you know what's sort of bugging me is that, all the people who are shooting down this reporting, because it's coming from the principals, okay? So if Gary Myers drew a conclusion that was a little too, that was connecting too many dots, that's fine, but he's not making it up. He's not getting it out of nowhere. In other words, Brady's bitching, or his dad's bitching, or his agent is bitching, or his trainer is bitching,
yep,
or Bill is chirping, or Robert is chirping, or it's the principals who are MFing each other. Reporters hear it, they report it, and then the fans go, oh, you're making it up. Meanwhile, Brady's in Tampa, and it all sounds so asinine for people to get on Gary. Do you think he just woke up and he said, I'm going to make this up? Or did he hear it from someone close to the situation? Because let me tell you, folks, I don't talk to any people close to the situation, but they're talking. They are talking, and they are chirping. And so a reporter reflects that. He ain't making it up. And so I just think, like, get over it already. These problems were real. It's why Brady's in Tampa. That's sort of my it sort of gets my back up, Bedard, a little bit.
No, I understand that. And I will tell you, like, first of all, any suggestion that Tom Brady didn't have input in the game plans?
That was totally my fault.
I thought Bedard hung up on himself. I was hoping for that after all the stuff with the landline.
I just went on that rant. And then I got like OCD and I realized I hadn't wiped down the actual phone yet. And so I went to wipe down the phone and I hung up on him.
I thought
well, that's
that
all right. Up. It's 2:30 anyway.
Oh, that was my fault. No. Bring him back. Can we just wrap this up real quick? Because I actually wanted that answer. What was he just about to say? He says, anyone who says Brady didn't have input in the offense, he was just about to say that, right? Oh, I hung up on the guy.
Yeah, I get him to call back.
Want to pick it up on the other side? Here, Murray, do the update. We'll follow up with Bedard right when you're done. Go.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy, make your first bet an automatic win, with FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Go some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, I'm sorry, Bedard. That was my fault. What were you saying about Brady McDaniels and Brady's input into the offense?
Okay, what I was saying was, you know, any suggestion that Brady lacked input into the offense or into the, at least into the game planning the last few years, is just, it's factually incorrect. That's not how they do things. The quarterback has a huge say. The offensive coordinator, as they go along during the week, especially early in the week, is constantly texting, FaceTiming, whatever, with the quarterback, saying like, because the quarterback's watching the same film that the coordinator is. And they're asking, bouncing ideas off of each other. You know, do you like this? Do you like, you know, this sort of pass concept against this defense? And yes, and, you know, heart emojis and eggplant emojis are going back and forth. So Brady had the same input all along. Now, where I think there might have been a disconnect the past couple years is in terms of game day play calling when it came to the offense. And McDaniels is in a – look, he's a coach. Coaches coach, players play. What Bill tells them to do, McDaniels does. I mean, Tom's not on the headset with McDaniels when on 3rd and 8, Belichick is saying, you know, we're going to have 2 downs here. So, you know, call these plays. You know, so there was a disconnect there. But really, I think a lot of this stuff, it goes back to this sort of paranoia that Brady had. He really had it all along. Considering how he got the job, and he knew how he got the job, and that was always hanging over his head. But really, the past couple years, and it started with things we talked about after the Atlanta Super Bowl. Garoppolo's still there. He's not traded that offseason. Adam Schefter saying they wouldn't trade him for 4 first-round picks. He's finally traded. No contract extension, all that stuff. And so, you know, Tom, even after Jimmy was traded, it then went on to his paranoia was about, all right, well, when are they going to phase me out? Because you get this with all these guys. I mean, really, Peyton's the only guy, and he had the neck injury, but whether it was Marino, I watched that up close. Favre, I was there the whole time at the end. That they have this paranoia about, like, everything goes bad with these guys at the end. They all start getting paranoid. They're handing the ball off too much. I want to throw the ball. I want to do this. And the coaches have to do what they have to do. They get paid to do a job, and that's in the best interest of the team. So that sort of stuff was going on at the end with Brady. It wasn't about game planning. It was about he wanted to throw the ball more. The team thought it was better to run the ball more and be more conservative. And 2 years ago, it worked out. And I can tell you, 2 years ago, Tom Brady did not like the play calling down the stretch, but it resulted in the Super Bowl. This past year, it didn't work. Happens.
Maz, you had a last question.
I was just going to ask you, Greg, quickly. So as you describe it, you say there is a give and take, but did Brady feel like he wasn't having the same say?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, but did he think that that the offense was being taken away from him? Yeah.
Okay.
Final question, Greg. That is your thoughts on the league and them coming back and the schedule, how they released it, and what do you think we're looking at here late summer into the fall?
Yeah, I mean, my opinion is sort of in the same place. I mean, I do think that I wrote about this the other day, once these leagues start to include the players more, because to this point, it's just the league and the owners, them talking about when they're going to restart, and they're not the ones who are out there who are going to be putting their lives on the line or the lives of their loved ones when they come home from work. Once it gets into the hands of the players, I think things are going to slow down a lot. And I think there's going to be a lot more discussion. I still think I'm hopeful that at some point in the fall, football can restart. I'm not optimistic about normal training camp starting at the end of July. But if I know anything from covering this league over 20 years, it's the NFL will ram anything through in the name of revenue. So who knows?
Do you think there will be legit pushback by the players? Do you think they're coordinated, organized enough, unified enough?
Probably not. Probably not. But I do know that there are players around the league who are asking a lot of serious questions, starting with, what has really changed in 2 months since everything shut down as far as pro sports? Why talk about going back now? Is there widespread testing? No. Is there widespread contact tracing? No. Why exactly is it safer now for the players to be going back than it was 2 months ago? I know the players are asking those questions, and the teams have to come up with legitimate answers.
Okay, Greg, thanks for taking the time, big fella. Sorry for hanging up on you. Appreciate it.
No problem. See you guys.
Okay, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Give him a read there, Boston Sports Journal. Give him a subscription. Still a very worthy site. Great guy that covers the Patriots there on the web, Maz. You were probing the thing there a little bit about Brady there at the end. You got a thought on that? You got a takeaway?
Well, because, look, I think it's one thing to say the line of communication was still open and Brady was still having say, but another thing to say what he felt, if you follow me. In other words, They still may have been talking, but Brady might have been sitting there saying, yeah, I mean, they asked me, but they don't use any of it, you know? And so I think the Brady sentiments there's too much smoke there for me to believe there's no fire. And I'm not saying that Greg is wrong necessarily. I'm just saying it might be open to interpretation that I think it reached the stage where clearly somebody in Brady's camp that is close to Brady has been telling people that he felt marginalized there down the stretch. So that's coming from somewhere.
All these guys have been chirping about each other for 2, 3, 4 years now, folks. It's not coming out of nowhere. They've been chirping each other, mother bleeping each other, bitching about each other to reporters and hangers-on for a couple of years. All of them. And so to turn around and say you're making it not, and you know no one's making it up because the guys in Tampa. Okay, but anyway, I thought Greg's, you know, sort of takeaway there, it happened with Favre at the end, it happened with Marino at the end, it happens with these guys at the end. I think that there's a lot of truth to that. And so, like, I don't think that bodes well for Tommy. It's like, you're acting like Favre at the end? You're acting like Marino? Like, I mean, I've put you on a pedestal because you ain't those guys. You haven't been those guys. And it just sort of devolved into you being like that. And let me tell you, when those guys left, when Favre left, he had a lot of pressure on him, and he kind of delivered. He sort of shut some people up there that last year in Minnesota. You know, the way he carried himself in Green Bay there at the end, he sort of proved himself when he went to Minnesota. What's Tommy going to do? And that's why I think, just back to my opening take and my developing opinion, is that I think with the way Brady's carried himself here at the end, he's put pressure on himself because everything he felt he wasn't getting here, he's gotten in Tampa. You now have it, Tommy. You have nice coaches. You have input into the offense. You've got the contract. You've got the surrounding cast. You've got your tight end back. You know, what else? What else? What else hasn't been happening here? You got it in Tampa. Whatever you didn't want here, you got it now. So what are you going to do with it? So we will take your calls. We haven't taken any calls yet today, so if you want to weigh in on the Pats, now is your time. 617-779-0985 to you right after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mazz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mazz.
A great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And from Tom's angle, and we've heard a lot of this. I mean, this is the reason I don't think Tom showed up to the last two OTAs, in the last two years of OTAs for the New England Patriots. I think he's worn out by everything in New England. New England's brutal. It is brutal. And I think Tom Brady got to a point in his career where, you know, hey, he's going, I got enough pelts on the horse, or I've done, you know, got enough, badges on my coat or whatever it may be, to where he doesn't want to be micromanaged and looked after for every little thing he does in the world. And in New England, they just don't give a damn. They don't care if you're Tom Brady and you won 10 Super Bowls, or if you're, you know, Jared Stidham and you haven't done crap yet. They really hold your feet to the fire on a daily basis. And I think that's where a lot of this talk comes from.
Again, more Sims and Florio filling out the topic there. Bedard said he thinks Sims' commentary is closest to the bone. And I do believe that Brady's problems with McDaniels were really his problems with Bill. Just goes back to that. McDaniels is just following orders from Bill. But Brady's got it the way he wants it now. He's got everything he wanted. Everything he wanted, he's got. What is he going to do with it? And I think he'll succeed with it. I hope he succeeds with it. Good story. We can talk about it. But if he doesn't, he's set himself up a little bit. So to your thoughts here, as promised. Mike in Nashville, what do you got?
So I think Pat fans need to step back. 20 years, the thing that's remarkable is they held it together for 20 years. Yeah, there's got to be conflicts. And I think Brady did finally get worn out. But, man, I'm a Giants fan, so give me 20 years of this kind of run, I'll take it.
Well, Mike, I think you're right about that. And as we've mentioned that, as wonky as it got here at the end, they do deserve credit for keeping it together as long as they did.
Look, Mike, it's unprecedented. It really is. Like, you know, and look, the nature of our jobs and our business is what it is. But nobody makes it as long as they did. Nobody. They all blow up sooner than that, way sooner than that, or someone gets hurt and retires. That prevents them from being together for a long period of time. When you weigh it all out, for them to stick together for that length of time, ridiculous. Ridiculous that they lasted that long.
And more often than not, it's not even injuries or anything that derails it. It's egos or someone wanting more credit for all the success.
Yeah, I honestly thought they'd take it all the way to the end. I thought, you know, they had defied that that convention. You know, they just lasted longer and done it better than anyone else. And I thought they would just get it to the finish line. And so I'm surprised they didn't make it to the finish line. But they still do deserve credit for getting as far as they did.
Look, absolutely. I just think that this is one of those things where, if someone does end well, it's shorter than this. I think this, you know, to me, it's almost impossible for it to end well because invariably someone wants it to keep going and the other side doesn't.
And it's
inevitable.
Or it's the 80s Celtics. And then you end up porking yourself for a year. I mean, that ended well, I guess, but it took another 20 years. You know, so I don't know. Maybe there's a downside to that. John in Connecticut. Go ahead, John.
I just want to say that, you know, to me, all these stories that are coming out right now are really, you know, irrelevant. The reason why Brady left is just because he didn't get the contract that he wanted. It's simple as that. And I will add that Kraft already made the decision once 3 years ago for the Garoppolo, and it was the right decision in my mind. Now we'll see if it's the right decision going forward. But, I mean, at the end of the day, that's all it was.
Okay, John. I mean, I think the contract's the number one thing on the list, but it's also what it represents. And you've got a lot of really tapped-in people. Bedard mentioned Tom Curran. He said this many times. Stephen A. Smith said it the day of that if Brady had gotten what he wanted from Belichick in terms of recognition and respect and attitude, they would have figured out the money. So you got to pick one. You've got to pick one, and you've got to, you know, if you're going to believe them, the reporting on that, then you've got to believe the reporting on the other thing.
And I think it was all wrapped up into one. I think the contract was super important, but there are a lot of really tapped in people who will tell you they would have figured that out if they were just nicer to Tommy. And I don't think that reflects well on Tom, but I mean, I'm sorry that that's what those guys have been reporting. And given all the chirping coming out of Brady's camp, I tend to believe it. He had a lot of grievances. Let's grab Nick and Needham. Go ahead, Nick.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just wondering if you think that there was less drama and there wasn't an issue of deteriorating relationships between Tom and Josh and Bill, do you think they were likely to have made him a better contract offer, or do you think they would have just made him the same offer regardless? Thanks.
Yeah, that's a good point. If they were all getting along better, would Bill have been more likely to give him what he wanted money-wise?
So this is a chicken and egg question. It's what led to what? And I think it was the Patriots' unwillingness to invest in a 40-something quarterback that led Brady to start to withdraw. So to me, the answer to that question is no, because I think that the relationship started to sour when Brady sensed these guys, with Garoppolo or without Garoppolo, these guys don't believe in me past a certain point.
Yeah, I think Bill had it in his mind well before this to move on from an aged quarterback. And Brady just, again, beat him out. That, you know, we were talking about from 2014 through 18 or 19, you know, whatever that was there, that time frame. Brady just beat it out. And it wasn't as bad then. You know, 2014 is maybe when it started with the drafting Garoppolo, but it was fine up until then. And so Bill was prepared to do it then. Never mind now. So I think it's sort of, no. If they were all nicer to each other and got along better, would they have paid him more? No. No. They've gotten along with plenty of guys there and not paid him. So that's sort of an independent thing. John in Stoughton, you're up next. Hi, John.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Two things real quick. With Phil Rivers and Indy and Jacoby Brissett over there, you think they're going to be fighting for a spot? And two, why does Brian Hoyer feel like the ex-girlfriend you just can't get rid of? All right, guys, thanks.
Okay. I think Brian Hoyer is going to be the ex-girlfriend that you look at one day and go, you know what? She wasn't half bad. She's actually kind of cute.
She was ugly, but she was real nice.
That's what you're going to find out. No, actually,
she was generous.
I didn't look at her in quite the right light. She didn't get quite the proper management, but now that she's put herself together, gone to a certain hairstylist, I mean, I see it. I can see it. That's what you're going to say out of Brian Hoyer. What was the first part of the thing?
Oh, first part was Rivers versus Brissett. And no. Look, the Colts didn't bring in Rivers at $25 million to have him compete with Jacoby Brissett.
Thank you.
So, yeah, Rivers is the quarterback. Brissett's the backup. Rivers is on a one-year deal. And if they can solve the problem long-term between now and next spring, they will.
Dave and Wellesley. Hi, Dave.
When we were just speculating about where Brady was going, I feel like one of the big driving forces was the TB12 business and brand. And I feel like once Tom landed on Tampa, that sort of just exploded. I didn't really understand it. You know, I was thinking Miami, New York, L.A. And I thought there was a sort of turning of the page where he was more focused on the business and the brand. And, you know, I'm confused as to where that discussion went.
That's a good point, Dave. Good point. You don't go to freaking Tampa to set up TB12. I mean, Miami's a much better market for that. LA's a much better market for that. There were other places. Hell, Vegas was probably a better market for that if he was just purely, you know, driven by the brand. I think what was proven is that he made that a secondary consideration. I mean, he's still big into his brand. He's still going to promote it. He's still involved in it for sure. But I don't even have much. I mean, he ain't bringing that crap to Ybor City, right?
Yeah, he just didn't have a market is really what it came down to. One team was truly interested. That was it.
Well, you don't think the Chargers were?
Oh, well, yeah, but then, you know, they sniffed around McDaniels, realized Brady didn't want anything to do with them, so that fell apart.
So I do, you know, I'd be interested in knowing exactly what it was with the Chargers. Now, look, the story's out there, obviously, that Brady's son, from his relationship with Bridget Moynihan, is East Coast, you know, in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was a factor. And I don't think that that's a lie. I think it was a factor. But I would like to know the whole story with the Chargers. Did they have interest in Brady and McDaniels as a tandem, as we theorized at the time, that they blow out Anthony Lynn and they bring in McDaniels, and then they found out Brady didn't want McDaniels, and all of a sudden it was, well, now look, this changes the whole equation. And then, you know, Brady didn't necessarily want them. And so I to me, there's more to the story there.
Okay, we're going to continue with your calls. We're also going to give you the latest on the MLB negotiations and our thought on that. We'll be joined by another guest. John Tomasi is going to join us on that. We'll do that all next hour after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.